There's nothing like being sick to remind you that Christ is mine forevermore. When you get laid out, you get laid out. And God taught me a lot of things. He didn't have to do an autopsy on me, or no one had to do an autopsy on me to see why I passed yet. So I'm thankful for that. It's good to be back, and we're combining last week's message and this week's message as we finish up this teaching series. And to do that, I need to tell you about a church that reached out to me a few years ago. They were reaching out to me to see if I would be interested in interviewing with them to be their pastor. It's a church in a city, and to see if I'd be a good potential fit to serve them in that capacity. Now, this church in this big major city had already done their own examination of themselves. They were dying. They were on the verge of death. But some members within that church were not willing to let that happen. So they chose a hard path and they pivoted. They decided that they wanted to serve their community. They decided that they needed to reach out to those people that were actually living around their church. They decided that their ministry had to change because what they were doing, the ministry that they were already doing, was not going to reach the people right outside their front door. And guess what? Some people didn't like it. And so they left. They didn't want to change. They didn't want to serve the community that was now surrounding them. They wanted to keep things the way they always were. The problem was this. Nobody was coming anymore. The problem was also the fact that the church no longer looked like it did 5, 10, or 50 years previously. The area around the church didn't look anything like it did 50 years previously. So those who were about keeping things the same, those who did not want to reach out into the changing community, they left. But there were those who saw an opportunity to be the church in the neighborhood. And they stuck around and they got to work serving and reaching out into their community. I never interviewed with the church. You know why? Because I knew God was intent on keeping me here and leading you, his people, to do what those people did. To open our eyes and to look at the community around the church and who we are called to serve. I knew we were to join Jesus on his mission to those right around where God has placed LMC. You see, one of the greatest symptoms of a dying church is they lead with a me-first mentality. And a me-first mentality leads to death. I'm sorry, there's no other way to put it. There is really no sugarcoating that truth. But if you think about it, it makes sense. If your church only cares about the programs that they have for their members, they're going to die. If your church is only concerned and fights about the color of the carpet in the sanctuary and the fellowship hall, they're not going to survive. If your church doesn't reach out into the community, if your church just hires more and more people to serve the needs of the people already within the church, your church will die. Churches that put me first, churches that put themselves first, die. So you have to ask yourself then, is your church even really being the church? Or is it just a country club where you come to be served? Because what's the church? Is the church a building? No. The church is not a building. The church is the body of Christ who comes together, yes, sometimes into a building and worships. It's the body of Christ who comes together not only to worship, but who comes together to serve. It's the body of Christ that comes together to love their neighbor as much as they love themselves. So then who is the church? You. You who are worshiping here right now, you who are worshiping at home, you're the church. You who believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are the church. You are the body of Christ. And guess this, you have different gifts. You all have different gifts. You all have these different talents that God has given to you. And you all have this opportunity to share and use these gifts for the greater good of who? God, Christ, the body of Christ, for his church. All sharing in the same grace, the same love, and the same forgiveness that is ours. How? By faith through Jesus Christ. So there you go. That brings you back to last week, your 1 Corinthians passage. Here's another true statement. Churches that put others first live. Churches that put others first live. It's biblical. You look at the New Testament. Look at the churches that Paul was speaking to. Those local churches there were always exhorted to be other-centered. Not that they didn't take care of one another. Not that they didn't take care of the buildings and things like that. They did that too. But those churches were exhorted to be other-centered. Now, we're going to look at the book of Philippians today, and you need to be reminded, just like I do, that this wasn't just written for the people of Philippi, and then it was done. Okay? These words were written for you and me too. So before we dig into chapter 2, I want to take a step back and look at Philippians 1:29. So if you have your Bible or your phone, you want to follow along, we're in Philippians this morning right now. We're going to start with Philippians 1, verse 29. This is what Paul writes here. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. It has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. What's Paul saying here? Paul is saying, believing in Christ is more than just knowing and liking what Jesus did for you. Believing in Christ is more than just knowing and liking what Jesus did for you. Believing in Christ is more than just sitting around and waiting to die to go to heaven. Believing in Christ means devotion to his purpose. Devotion to his purpose, not your purpose, not my purpose. Devotion to his purpose. And so, what then is his purpose for you? What is his purpose for me? It's to be the church. It's to be the body of Christ. His purpose for us is to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. And to love our neighbors as ourselves. God enables us, friends, the ability to have this devotion. By the power of the Holy Spirit, believing in Christ is more than just knowing and liking what Jesus did for you. Now, he lays it out there, right? Paul just lays it out there. Now, as we move forward then, he tells the church to look after the interest of others even as it considers its own interest. Okay? He tells the church to look after the interest of others, even as it considered its own interest. Hear what he says. We're going to hear these verses a few times, so I want to read this through straight. We're going to go Philippians 2, 1 through 5, and then we're going to come back and look at them a little bit more in depth. Here's what Paul continues to say. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. What Paul is saying here is he's saying vibrant and living churches look after the interest of others. Vibrant and living churches look after the interest of others. So let's go back to verses 1 and 2. I have some questions for you here, church, because that's what you are. You're the church, right? I need to ask you, church, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Okay, well, a couple of you think there's some encouragement from belonging to Christ. Is there any comfort from his love? Is there any fellowship together in the Spirit? Now, this isn't talking about eating food, okay? This is common faith that we have. Is there any fellowship together in the Spirit? Yeah. Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Okay, as we answer yes, Paul then says this. He says, make me truly happy. Make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and one purpose. If there are all these things, if you say yes to all these things, then make me happy by working together, loving one another, with one mind and one purpose. Who's one mind? Who's one purpose? Yours? Mine? Paul's? No, it's Christ's. Because who's the head of the body? Who is the head of the church? Christ is. So he calls us here to be of one mind and think the same things. And where do we find the answer to Christ's mind, to what we're supposed to be doing, to what we're supposed to be of one mind and one purpose in? We find it right here, right? This thing called the Bible. It's the best book out there for you and me. This is what God is calling us to. So what is Christ's mind set on? What did he come to do? Save. Christ's mind is set on saving and redeeming his people. From God, through Christ, to who? Right, to you and to me, and then where? Right? Then it goes out to others. So our mind is set on the fact that Christ Jesus came to save all people for us, gave us this gift, and now we're to share this truth with all. And again, you can't do this, friends. You cannot do this. The Holy Spirit does this in you. So the Holy Spirit is the one who renews our minds through the Scriptures to love God and to love our neighbor. And then love wills us to extend the kingdom of God's grace to everyone. Love wills us to join Jesus on his mission. It's in this single-mindedness of Christ that Paul did his thing. And it's in this single-mindedness that we as God's church are intended to live and serve. Dying churches lose this focus. There's a somewhere else. It's stuck on the carpet. But simply, friends, this is what God calls the church to do. Be of one mind, of one purpose in Christ. Vibrant and living churches look after the interest of others. This is what he's called the church to do. Well, how do we do that, right? Well, Paul lays it out here. Let's look at verses 3 through 5 again. He says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So simply put, church, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Think of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. And then it says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. You look at the way it's written, that's an imperative. You guys know what an imperative is? You remember English? Like fifth grade English, probably? An imperative is what? It's a command. It's the command to think with our minds as Christ thought with his. Now, I know you are not going to do this perfectly. I'm not going to do this perfectly. So we go back to what we know. We go back to what we believe in Christ Jesus, who saved us from this, right? Then we go back out into this life, living for his purpose. Not being selfish, not worrying about things only within the church, being humble, not thinking we are better than those people who stop in here at the church and ask for help from me, and I give them some help. You're no better than they are, so we got to stop thinking that we are. Not only looking at what the church needs, but also the needs of others. Why do you think we instilled this whole blessed to be a blessing thing over 3 years ago? Yeah, praise God that we'll be able to take care of this church and do many amazing things because of your generosity and gift. But praise God at the same time, friends, that we're giving away money and help and service to people who need it. It's a both and. As the body of Christ, as disciples of Jesus, we are to live in his grace and have the same mind, the same thoughts, and the same attitude as Christ Jesus. And we're to do this because of what Jesus did for us, because of what Jesus gives us freely. And guess what? You can do it. I can do it. We can do it too because of what else Jesus gave when he ascended. He sent the helper, right? He sent the Holy Spirit. God called the church to look outwardly, and he sent them. Matthew 28, you know this one, right? Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. I'm going to read this again for you, and I want you to see if you can notice another imperative. There's another imperative, another command here. Matthew 28, beginning with verse 18, says this: Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Do you notice the imperative? Two letters. G-O. Go. Not a suggestion. Not up for you to consider, church, if this is what we're supposed to do. The head of the church, the head of Christ, Christ himself, God himself, gives us this imperative. He says, go. Go make disciples. Go, church. You go, church, and you go make disciples. Now, you go baptize. Go, church. Go and baptize. Go, church. Teach them. Go. And you go knowing this, that I am with you always. Not me, because I won't be here always. But Jesus says, you go because you know that I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So guess what? You should be going. This command from Jesus to the churches, go, is what dying churches have forgotten. Or as it's said in the book, The Autopsy of a Deceased Church, perhaps it's more accurate to say the church decided not to act upon Christ's command. They know it's there, but they've decided not to act upon Christ's command. Thriving churches have the Great Commission at the center of their vision. Dying churches don't. Thriving churches have the Great Commission at the center of their vision. Dying churches don't. Here's why I believe dying churches don't have the Great Commission. Why they don't have joining Jesus as their focus. It's because it takes work. It takes effort. It takes getting uncomfortable. Because maybe what the church would realize is that they are dying. They actually are dying. And if they don't change, if they don't put in the work, things won't get any better. And to get to that point, they have to admit that they've lost their way. As individuals, we don't like to admit that we're wrong, right? So think of a collective body. They don't like to have to admit that they've lost their way. They don't like to admit that they've lost their focus. They don't want to admit that they've wandered from having this oneness in the mind of Christ. Yet God is a God of grace. God is a God of mercy. God is a God who helps. He sends the helper. He said, go, and he reminded you, as you go, guess what? I am with you always. You see, there is hope for all congregations. Jesus' command doesn't change. The command is still there. It's still the same. Go. So church, go. Go and totally depend on the power of Jesus Christ, because he said he is with you always. He sent the helper. And here's the thing. You have to remember, church, the results are not on you. If you don't go, nothing will change. But if you do go, many things may change, but the results don't depend on you. The results are dependent on what he is going to do through the work that you're putting in. He commands us to go. He's empowered us with the Holy Spirit to join Jesus in the neighborhoods. He wants us to have one mind like his and reach out to the community. He wants us to not think so much about ourselves, but think more of others. He wants us, the church, to have an other focus. Living, thriving churches look outward, choosing to put in the work in reaching out to others instead of choosing to sit in their own comfort. LMC River Falls, you've made great strides. Praise God for that. And you've done it all the while you've taken care of the building that God has blessed you with. You've grasped what it means to be the church. Praise God for the work he is doing as we reach out to the community. Praise God for the work that he is doing as we give blessings to those in need. Praise God is that we partner with different ministries in the area, serving the most vulnerable. Praise God that you have the opportunity to learn weekly about joining Jesus in missional communities, in discipling your children, in loving those in your neighborhoods, in helping to reach the campus. Open our eyes, right? What's right outside our doors, those wonderful, awesome college students. You made great strides. We praise God for that. And going and growing is what we must continue to do. God's mission for us does not change. God's command is still two letters. Go. God's desire is we go with the mind of Christ. So onward we will go. It may look different than you thought. It may bring changes. It may bring challenges. But it will be what God desires. And what does God desire? That we go. And that we go knowing that He is with us always. We go knowing that the results are not on us. We go knowing that we're going to go forth in prayer, praying. We're going to talk more about this next week in the state of the church. As we talked about at our board of directors meeting, our church has a prayer deficit. We'll get into that more next week. But we're going to go, we'll be praying into this going in the weeks ahead as we seek God's clear purpose for His church. Not Pastor Scott's church, okay? Don't ever want to hear that. Not Pastor Scott's church. This is God's church. And we're going to go where He wants it to go. And no matter what lies ahead, we can be confident and secure that He will lead us and He will guide us as together we put in the work and we go knowing that He is with us always. Even to the end of the age. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.